IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint, a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Warm welcomes to all of you from wherever in the world it is that you have tuned into IRIB English Radio. This is the program Viewpoints. We began talking about the movie Argo, which was released in 2012, referring to an event in 1979 that was known as the Iran hostage crisis. It's actually an interesting movie to watch, so we are going to continue talking about it after saying salam to our honorable guests, Brother Sayyid Wahid Alawi from Sweden and Brother Habib Zatar from California.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of you and to the dear listeners. Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you for being here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you guys for having us. And it's always an honor serving our mu'mini, our brothers in Islam.
Thank you.
This is the Persian Empire, known today as Iran. For 2,500 years, this land was ruled by a series of kings, known as Shahs. In 1950, the people of Iran elected Mohammad Mossadegh, a secular Democrat, as prime minister. He nationalized British and US petroleum holdings, returning Iran's oil to its people. But in 1953, the US and Great Britain engineered a coup d'etat that deposed Mossadegh and installed Reza Pahlavi as Shah. The young Shah was known for opulence and excess. His wife was rumored to bathe in milk, while the Shah had his lunches flown in by Concorde from Paris. The people starved. The Shah kept power through his ruthless internal police, the Savak. An era of torture and fear began. He then began a campaign to westernize Iran, enraging a mostly traditional Shiite population. In 1979, the people of Iran overthrew the Shah. The exiled cleric Ayatollah Khomeini returned to rule Iran. It descended into score settling, death squads, and chaos. Dying of cancer, the Shah was given asylum in the US. The Iranian people took to the streets outside the U.S. Embassy.
We actually ended the previous program with Brother Vahid's comment about how Iranians are always last minute. Why didn't they figure this out? Why didn't they do their research on this movie crew before? And Brother Habib responded, in defense of the Iranians, that it took actually some time to shred the papers. And I wanted to add to that, that, you know, when you go, it's always like this, that when you go to any country or when you want to leave a country, they have several checking points, right? And then even in the last checking point, they still check your visa, they check your passport to make sure that you have enough documents to travel to that country. And even when after all of this checking is done, when you land into the new country, They also have other checking points to make sure that your visa is valid, your reasons are valid. And that's why in a lot of cases we see that you're interviewed, you're interrogated for several hours. So I think that's pretty normal, actually.
They gave a telephone number. Mm-hmm. This is our corporation in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That is our reference. I don't think you need more time than that just to pick up the phone and call them.
He called.
He called them right away.
He called them right away.
He got the call at the moment, and then he called them right away.
But there was no answer.
What we see in the movie, isn't that the last minute that
no,
they called when they're
that's
boarding?
That's when he got the call.
How do you know that a film crew is coming?
That they're boarding the
they're
airplane after 82 days, right?
They're just a bunch of people
days,
who have booked
right?
a ticket.
Pardon?
And they're a group of people who have booked a ticket. They come.
What
they
did
say,
they do 82 days previous to that?
Yeah, but how was
when
the...
When they enter the country, when they enter the country, the producer, in this case, it's played by Ben Affleck. Mm. When they enter the country as a film producer for the Canadian embassy, what were they doing? Couldn't the Revolutionary Guard call the reference number that he is giving?
Wahid, remember the scene where they go into the bazaar, right? And then all of a sudden you see the movie going tick, 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 and there are like pictures taken of them. And then it goes to the Revolutionary Guard's office and he has pictures of these Canadian movie cast, right? The producer, the co-producer, the screenwriter, the cameraman, right? So they were actually following them throughout their arrival. Right, so they didn't leave them. They just didn't know who they were, and it
couldn't
took them time
ask,
to understand who they were.
Couldn't
and
they also, ask, sir, what is your purpose of your trip
they
to
did
Iran?
Do that. They did do
I'm
that.
I'm a film producer. Reference number, please. Contact number. Here's my contact number.
Hi,
here's
mean,
my
you
reference
mean why
number.
Didn't they call Hollywood?
And then
at the
they
beginning?
Call Hollywood from the beginning.
Point.
They don't wait till the last minute when they're boarding the airplane
but
after
also,
82 days.
Also, remember that this is the beginning of the revolution. You know, it's not like office work is organized. They're like the positions
all right,
are organized.
All right, I accept that. I accept that argument. But the last minute call, the last minute deed or action by the Iranians is in the culture.
Yes.
Pretty much just in the scene, you know, you just put yourself in their places, in their foot. The movie Argo. Hollywood thought it was real. It was on the newspaper. It was in the magazine. It was the CIA's plan.
They did a very nice advertisement and they planned everything
very
exact. So
when
you
show them the magazine...
That's all right. I'm saying the duty of me as a revolutionary guard, when a person comes to my country, what is my duty? My duty is to at least call... Previous to those 82
that's
days.
Not the job. That's not the job of the people in the airport. You have to keep that in your mind. It's the job of the people who give the visas out.
Yeah, but the Revolutionary Guard is in the airport. They are controlling...
They control the airport.
...your entrance into the country. They are asking the questions. What is your purpose of your trip to Iran?
I don't know. You've been... I know you've been to the international airport in Iran. You've seen how they are, right? Sometimes they put in workers from the airport... Right? And sometimes they put in the Revolutionary Guards.
No. It's always the Revolutionary Guard who checks the visa and the passport.
The last point is the lever.
And that is a very
last
sensitive
time
thing
anyhow,
you said.
I would have arrived, it was a worker. It wasn't a Revolutionary Guard sitting in the chair.
Okay. This is Bob Pender from State OS. He's been talking to Morgan at X-Staff.
Bob. Thank you. All right, Mark and Cora Lychek, 29, 25. He's a consular officer, she's an assistant, newlyweds. They only just got there a couple months ago. No language skills or in-country knowledge. Henry Lee Schatz, agricultural attaché from Idaho, a bit of an oddball, apparently. He was there to sell U.S. tractors to Iranian agro. Joe Stafford, late 20s. He's smart and a climber, speaks Farsi. He arranged the hire of his wife, Kathy.
Embassy was understaffed, so the faculty wives were the typing pool.
And Bob Anders, senior consular officer, oldest of the group, and most likely to be group leader.
They're in hiding at the Canadian ambassador's residence. Fortunately, we do not believe the Iranians are aware the six have escaped.
This is the program Viewpoints you were listening to, broadcasted from IRIB English Radio. We began talking about the movie Argo, which was released in 2012, referring to an event in 1979 that was known as the Iran hostage crisis. It's actually an interesting movie to watch, so we are going to continue talking about it. Let's go to our next question. So, Brother Vahid, so talk to us about the box office, please.
The box office, the budget first. The budget was $44.5 million. How much was Lucy?
No, that's 44.5.
Lucy was 40 million, right?
Not 4.5, 44.5.
Yeah, that's what I said, $44.5 million. And the box office, ladies and gentlemen, $232.3 million.
So that was a success.
It was a success, yes.
It's a patriot movie.
I think I watched it like 3 times.
Subhanallah.
I watched it twice.
So. Subhanallah.
You know what I liked in the movie?
Oh, where was it acted?
I watched the
movie.
Once.
Like the part where it had to do with Iran. Where was it acted? Do you guys know?
Yeah,
Where?
Where was the movie?
The movie was acted in the United States.
Even the Iranian part.
Exactly. Everything was in the United States.
The Marek Bergam recall parts. They were so legit. They mean the government. They don't mean the people.
But how did they manage to find all those Iranians who like? The costume was so good. It really reminded you of the beginning of the revolution in Iran. The way the lady, the translator, was wearing her scarf.
It's a lot of money spent, yeah. Sister. $44.5 million. It's
not.
Brother
Wahid, even the shuch, the clerks.
Right.
They were wearing amabas, they were wearing abaya, and they were...
Right.
Where did they find these all bearded people and everything? I don't know where they got
them
from.
No, they fix it. I mean, when you have that amount of budget, you can arrange things.
You know, actually, now that we're talking about this movie, this other movie keeps on coming to my mind, which is called Never Without My Daughter. And I think we haven't talked about it here. So I think it would be a good idea if we do, like, a few shows on that one. It's actually very, very
That's
similar.
That's a terrible movie. It's a propaganda movie, and the book is even worse than the movie.
What is it about?
There's a lot of lies in it.
They actually broadcasted this movie every single year in Canada, Never Without My Daughter. And I grew up with a very strong memory of this movie. And I remember, like, the next day when they would show this movie on TV, people would be like, Fatima, are you from Iran? Never Without My Daughter? So I guess it has a strong bond with my childhood memories. All right. After the box office, let's talk about the cast. So do we have any, like, famous actors or actresses?
Two, actually.
Awards.
Ben Affleck and Bryan Cranston. I remember him as Malcolm's dad. Why? Because he was... the thing I remember him from was the series, TV series called Malcolm in the Middle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys seen it. And as well as Breaking Bad. And pretty much this guy, you know, every movie he acts in, he is an American patriot. He portrays an American person. Mm-hmm. Either an American dad, an American politic, or just any other everyday neighborhood person, you know? And he really just looks American. If you tell me who's the most American person that looks like an American person, I would say Bryan Cranston. Ben Affleck as well, great actor. Mm. He did a good job here in acting. And really, you just feel like, you know those nervous moments in the movie?
Exactly.
Where they cancel it and then he just goes on with the plan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're in the airport, how he's quiet. You just like see like, oh, seriously, he's really nervous. And so the way he portrays nervousness, the way he portrays adrenaline is very beautiful.
Very professional. And he got Argo got the... very good critics too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got very good praise. They're from Rotten Tomatoes. He got 96%
That's
approval based on 333 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And
also award for best picture, best adapted screenplay,
right.
And best film editing.
Naming Argo one of the best 11 films of 2012.
But they also got criticized as well.
For doing what?
For decreasing the role of the Canadian embassy.
Mm.
they didn't have a big role to play. You know, how hard is it to give? They portrayed that they gave them passports.
Mm-hmm.
They portrayed that they opened their arms for them, right?
They went to his home.
His home, yeah. He was in danger. They portrayed that, yes. Mm-hmm. And they are thankful for that. But what else did he do?
But that's
They put it in the face. They put it in the face. CIA, at the end of the movie, you could see that they're saying that the Canadians did it. What did we do? We're as shocked as the rest of the people, right? And so why? So the CIA wouldn't be in the middle. Then, a couple years later, it got more famous. It got famous that the CIA had a hand in it and the Canadians helped.
Mm.
So I think they got enough praise, actually, the Canadians.
All right.
Yeah, Canadians are kind of friendly and everything.
No, I'm just saying the reviews that I was reading.
Yeah. So the reviews are kind of, you know. Yeah.
No, we got some
we have like
very famous politicians or ex-politicians who have talked about this movie too.
Yeah, like let's leave that for the next show. Right. Thank you guys. Thank you, brothers, both for joining us today in Viewpoints from IRIB. We talked about the movie Argo, talking about the 1979 Iran hostage crisis. I hope that you enjoyed listening to this discussion. We suggest that you watch this movie. Thank you all very much for joining us. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.